Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Fantasy Foot Beer Podcast. I'm James Kemp, joined as always by my good friend and fierce fantasy rival, Dr. Michael Stewart. Dr. Stewart, how are you feeling, buddy?
I'm feeling good, James. Thank you for asking. It's another lovely, it's not Tuesday, but it's a lovely Wednesday here in central Indiana. Feeling good, looking forward to the season. You know, we're just a couple weeks away. We're wrapping up the last of the divisions today and later on this week. So I'm looking forward to that. Got a lot of good discourse we got to get to. But first, I want to know how you are doing tonight.
I'm doing really well. I'm the reason why we're not recording on our normal Tuesday night again. I decided to be selfish and go to a concert last night. Saw Coheed and Cambria for the second time this summer. You gotta treat yourself when you can. But I am very excited to talk NFC South Part 1, Panthers and Saints. Definitely not the worst division in football. That would be the AFC South. But I think across the two southern divisions, there's only one team that's actually any good. And we're not talking about that team in this episode. We'll talk about it in our next one. But before we get to that point, we are going to talk about some news. And there is a lot. We're at the end of the preseason, or close to the end of the preseason. And there's one more round of preseason games to go around. But decisions are being made. Injuries are coming out. And things that are going to impact us directly. The first one on my list here, Dr. Stu, is about one of the guys we are going to talk about in this episode. And I think if we get out ahead of it early in this episode, it can help us inform the rest of it. That is Tetaroa McMillan and his hamstring. So, Stu, what have you heard about Tet McMillan and his hammy?
Yeah, so held out of preseason activities for now. He's been rising up draft boards pretty rapidly over the last several weeks. He's been featured in many a fantasy football podcast that I do delve into and listen to. I just want to state he was one of my guys first. I liked him before everybody else. Just kidding. Or most everybody else announced it. So it doesn't feel great that we're nearing the end of camp for a rookie and he gets a soft tissue issue. Those things, especially hamstrings, like to linger throughout the year. I don't think it takes me completely out on Tet McMillan. I won't say that I'm going to be reaching for him over the likes of, you know, people around him. I've seen Calvin Ridley go around him, George Pickens go around him, J-Mo from Detroit. Those sorts of people I've seen him go over in mock drafts. I'm not sure I'd put him over those guys at this point, but he's still fine where he's going in that, you know, late, mid to late fifth, I think, is where I see him most. Still fine with that there, James. Do you think you agree?
I generally do. You know, the hammy is such a weird one, considering how frequently those, like, reappear over the course of the season. But we've seen, like, guys like Mike Evans battle hamstring injuries seemingly every single year and lose minimal time. Granted, Mike Evans is in the conversation for one of the greatest wide receivers of his generation, if not all time. Tet McMillan is a rookie. So I'm not really sure what to do with Tet McMillan. There is a lot of other questions with the Panthers in general that we'll kind of address later in the episode. But I like him still in the sixth. I see him in the sixth. Or I prefer to get him in the sixth rather than the fifth. I know you're... I'm also high on Tet McMillan. I know you're a little higher than I am, though. I don't see it really affecting my draft strategy with McMillan all that much. Mm-hmm. Next one. There's another McMillan we got to talk about. That is Jalen McMillan for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. He was getting some attention in late rounds as looking like the fourth wide receiver out of the Tampa Bay stable there, and he is out for the year. So, is this a good thing for Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, and Mika Ibuka? Generally, yeah, but I think him being the fourth option doesn't really make that big of a difference for me. It just takes a late round dart throw off my list.
Mm-hmm.
Does he?
So, yes, he went up for a ball, came down on his neck. It was described as a severely strained neck by the head coach. He's out for, I think it's most of the year at this point, maybe through their bye week, and their bye week is later on, like 10 or 12, something like that. So, effectively out for the season. So, mm-hmm. He was kind of the last roadblock for the hype train of Emeka Egbuka, because Egbuka started to get a lot of noise when Chris Godwin started to seem more and more likely to start the season on the physically unable to perform list or the PUP list. Now somebody has to be across from Mike Evans. People were like, oh, you know what? Don't forget Jalen McMillan. He had a pretty good season last year. He's got good draft capital. He's got a good makeup. That's gone now. So full steam ahead with Emeka Egbuka. He's going to be flying up boards, especially this close to the season. It's going to be hard to see where he stabilizes, and people are just going to go when they, you know, feel it in their gut. So he's going to have a huge level of variance come draft day. You need to be aware of that if Egbuka is going to be one of your targets in a very good Tampa Bay offense. We'll talk about them a little more in depth later on in this week, but I mean, we got a lot to get through, and one that I think, James, I'd like to talk about, and social media was blowing up about it in the last couple of days. The Washington Commanders have exhibited an interest in trading running back Brian Robinson Jr., the guy who was supposed to head this stable along with Austin Eckler. Now they want him out of town, and they haven't really said exactly why, but people are extrapolating the information and thinking that either Chris Rodriguez, another running back down that list, or seventh-round draft pick
Jacory Krosky-Merritt.
Oh, it's on the tip of my tongue. Anyway, he goes by Bill, so from now on, I will only call him Bill, because that's just easier.
I think if you say Bill, we'll know who you're talking about. It's clearly Jacory Krosky-Merritt.
Absolutely. You don't tie Bill with anyone else, especially no science people. So let's pump the brakes a little bit. I've seen people take Krosky-Merritt, Bill, in the 11th, in the 10th, some in the single-digit rounds. It's getting a little hot for a guy that, I mean, Brian Robinson is still in this room. Like, we're only 2 weeks away from the season. We don't know if this trade is going to come to fruition. We don't even know if Bill is the reason why they want Brian Robinson out of town. Maybe he's a cancer in the locker room and they just don't want him there anymore. It's interesting. I want to hear your thoughts on it, James, but honestly, I think the Commanders just have a lot going on here in the last couple of weeks because Terry McLaurin is still unsigned. But, of course, we're talking about Bill. Let me hear it, James.
Yeah, I mean, my first reaction is, you know, Austin Eckler is still there. He's not quite the Austin Eckler who we knew and love as the PPR darling for the Chargers, but he is still a perfectly capable running back given the correct situation. And maybe this is just a situation where they see that they've got too many guys in the locker room, and one of these guys is higher paid and not quite as productive as some of these other guys would be. Just looking at the depth chart for the Commanders right now, they've got six running backs that are currently on the roster. They're going to have to cut some. Not all these guys are going to make the team. I believe the final cut date is the 26th. So either they ship Brian Robinson before then and it makes some of their cuts a little bit easier. Maybe they are really high on Jacory Krosky-Merritt and they really don't want to cut him. And if they do, maybe they have to try and practice squad the guy, afraid that they're going to have to let him go on waivers and someone else is going to take him. But I wasn't very high on Brian Robinson to begin with. I saw him as holding back other people in that offense. So I wasn't drafting any running back out of Washington, and this doesn't really change this that much for me. It honestly might make Austin Eckler look a little bit more attractive to me, and that's about it.
Mm-hmm. You also got to think of it on the flip side is Brian Robinson, if he is traded, he is going somewhere else. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of situations in running back stables across the league that have seemed very set. And to introduce someone like Brian Robinson is really going to shake things up. It could very well ruin some of these backfields for us fantasy-wise. Pretty much everyone, I think, except for Dallas. I think Dallas could probably get him. But an interdivisional trade seems fairly unlikely to me. So it's mm-hmm. going to be very interesting to see if he's dealt and, of course, where he's going to go. But we have to keep marching on. We're like halfway through the news. There are two out of the three teams that had yet to announce their starting quarterbacks have now done so, the Browns and our own Indianapolis Colts. So let's talk about the Browns first, since they make me less sad. They're starting Joe Flacco week one for as long as the 40-year-old can do it. However long he can sling it, he's going to be starting football games for the Browns in 2025. Now the fantasy spin on that. Personally, I don't think Joe Flacco is going to be anything that you want to sniff at in fantasy. It's all about the guys around him, the Judys, the Njokus, people like that, that, I mean, if Kenny Pickett was starting, you'd want to avoid. Now with Joe Flacco starting, they've become a little more attractive, James. Does this announcement put those kinds of guys on your list to watch out for?
No. In fact, it makes them a little bit less so. I've been watching a lot of Joe Flacco over the last few years in his first stint with Cleveland and with Indianapolis last year. The dude has a noodle arm. I don't see any way that this is good for fantasy football or good for those other guys in the Browns offense. Yeah, he's going to probably be trying to hit a lot of checkdowns. So I guess your tight end and running back options there are given a tiny bit of boost, but I feel really bad for Jerry Jeudy, and I feel really bad for anybody who's drafted him so far, because Jerry Jeudy once again sees his value tanking in my mm-hmm. eyes. I think everybody kind of knows Joe Flacco is not going to be starting the whole year. I would be kind of surprised to see him start more than four games. You got a lot of young guys in that room, and you're trying to develop them. And this is a tale as old as time. Rookie quarterback, or in this case, rookie quarterbacks, veteran brought in to essentially teach the guys. It's not going to be a long-term thing. It's just a teaching tool, I suppose you could say. So as long as Flacco is the guy, I'm off all Cleveland pass catchers, even more than I already was.
I would consider it Njoku. Jeudy, that's fine. But I think, I mean, he can rack up the targets. He's a huge target for Joe Flacco. I think he's very worth it in rounds 7-8 as a tight end target. So then the other one, Danny Dimes. Daniel Jones is going to be starting over Anthony Richardson for the Colts. And the Colts already look like a dumpster fire, but does this make people like Michael Pittman, who's going currently at like wide receiver 48, does this make rookie Tyler Warren surge up draft boards? Josh Downs, who's been fighting a little bit of injury, maybe he gets a little more interest for us, James. My personal take, Warren, sure. The others, I'm not super, super interested in. It would just make me have to watch more Colts games, and I don't really want to put myself through that, honestly. Mm-hmm. So how you feeling about this, James?
I don't think this has changed any takes we've had about the Colts last however many weeks ago that we covered them. Colts are a dumpster fire. You don't want any of their pass catchers unless you want to take a dart throw at Tyler Warren late. And again, it's a shame because a lot of those guys are kind of having a lot of really good potential be destroyed by what's going on with the Colts quarterback situation. Guys like Josh Downs could be stars in the NFL and just aren't going to be because you got Indiana Jones and whatever is left of Anthony Richardson attempting to make it happen. So we're on to whoever the quarterback is going to be next year, add it to the list, whether it's Drew Aller from Penn State, or if it's Arch or whoever else is going to be drafted by the Colts in the early rounds next year, that there is no hope.
Raise a glass to those rookies. Okay.
Those future rookies, yeah.
Yes, last one. Last one I think that I have. Matt Stafford, back in practice. Non-contact, of course, but he's got a creaky back. He's back in practice. We'll see if that is going to be able to support our lovely darling Puka Nacua or even Devontae Adams and Kyren Williams. A little bit of positive news to round out our news segment, James. Anything to hit on Stafford at all, or do you want to jump right into our divisional breakdowns?
I think this just... last week when we covered the NFC West, I do think at some point I said, I just need to hear some kind of positive news about Matt Stafford before the season starts, and there's your positive news. So that, I guess, is all I needed, and I'm sure in the background our listeners can hear some weird music. That is Indy making his presence known. That is his little doorbell when he needs to go potty. So
That's smart.
Thank you.
Smart
thank
to
you,
do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But anyway... Yeah, let's get into the Panthers, shall we?
We shall.
We already started with Tet McMillan. He is the star rookie wide receiver out of Arizona. Very interesting prospect. Very fun guy to watch in college and to watch, hopefully, in the NFL. With that hamstring injury, I think we both were kind of agreed that it doesn't turn us off that much. But past that comes Adam Thielen, the longtime veteran by way of Minnesota, and a guy with one of the most interesting accents you'd ever hear, Xavier Leggett. I am seeing both of these guys drafted, if not, both of them very late round draft throws. Based on the profile we kind of tend to give, we like the young guys better than the old guys if you're taking late-round dart throws, and that's no different here. Adam Thielen probably the more reliable of the two, but Xavier Leggett being a second-year guy in the league who did show flashes of possibly having some kind of role in Bryce Young's resurgence. If you're going to shoot at either of these guys who aren't Tet McMillan, I think Leggett's your guy over Adam Thielen, even though Thielen will probably produce a little bit more early in the season. Either way, remember what team this is. Remember that Bryce Young did show better down the stretch than he did in years previous, or year previous, I should say. But that doesn't mean he's good, and that doesn't mean that there's going to be reliable targets to go around. And don't forget Tet McMillan. Yeah. Stu, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, so this group of three, Tet is the one that you want to own. That's perfectly fine. As far as late-round dart throws, if you're going to be banking on some sort of upside, some sort of lightning in a bottle, it's always better to bank on the younger guy. Adam Thielen is 34 years old, and he's been a very good receiver for a very long time, but he's not going to be anything that you're going to want to trust in fantasy. It's not going to be something that you want to clog on your bench. So Leggett, absolutely, if you're down at the tail end of your drafts or you're in a 16-team league or something like that, grab him, see what happens. I think he has the chance to continue to blossom if he's not viewed as the number one option in an offense. I mean, he was a first-round draft pick, I think, two years ago, right? He was a first-rounder. So now they got a pretty good level of draft capital for receivers for Bryce Young. So it is all just going to depend on Bryce Young, whether he can continue what he kind of started in the later half of the season last year. I mean, this is a season where he was benched. Like he was not starting games for a little while, and now coming back in, it seemed like it did him some good in a way that it doesn't often do for quarterbacks to be benched. I mean, just look at Anthony Richardson. I mean, he's on his way out in Indianapolis, but Bryce Young, he was kind of playing some good football. There's value to be had here. I mean, if he shows off his draft pedigree, why they took him so early in drafts and why he was going to be the future of this franchise, we could be looking at something very serviceable, and you want to get on that train before the rest of your league mates do. It's just, it's all going to hinge upon him, James. How you feeling about Bryce Young?
Now, we mentioned that he did play some good football down the stretch last year. That is true. Bryce Young was one of the, I really think, one of the better stories last year outside of, like, actual good teams, because we did see that step forward that he took after being put in a bad situation. That doesn't mean I'm excited about him. Another step forward for him would be a little bit of consistency, because still, even playing, I think he only played 14 of the 17 games last year, and that was only because Andy Dalton had an injury due to a car accident, not even a football-related thing. And in those three fewer games, he had more touchdowns, fewer interceptions, better receiving or better completion percentage, and overall, a much better and palatable-looking stat line. That doesn't mean it was good. It just means it was slightly better. So Bryce Young needs to be a top 25 quarterback in the NFL this year. Currently, in on my rankings I'm looking at, I got him at 22. I don't necessarily think he is that. And I would love to see him provide meaningful production for his wide receivers. He's just got to prove it. He hasn't proven anything to me yet. That's my thought.
Harsh.
What?
No, come on. Does that one Sunday, January 5th game, overtime win over Atlanta, 25-34, 251, three touchdowns, two rushing? That's pretty good, James. If he could do that for 17 games, that would be a pretty awesome season.
It was against Atlanta.
Atlanta's not a pushover on defense. They're not the worst. They weren't the worst last year.
Still not good. I think the biggest thing Bryce Young has going for him is the fact that he is playing against some of the worst defenses in the NFL. Now, Atlanta, we're going to talk about next week, they probably are going to be one of the most improved defenses in the NFL just because of the way they built out of the draft. But I'm not going to be impressed if he throws for 350 and three against the Saints. But I mean, I would be if he was on my fantasy team, but he's not going to be
streaming. Be on your fantasy team. Yeah, we know.
Yeah. All right, let's talk about running backs.
Sure.
Chuba Hubbard, seeing him PPR as the running back 18. He was the guy who kind of came in last year, had his breakout a year after I think everybody was hoping he would. And I'm seeing him right now going in about the fourth round. I am skeptical. I know that he has shown us that he is a worthy running back in the NFL, but I am skeptical mostly of this team and this offense right now. Yeah, there's the whole volume is king, but again, meaningful volume is king. How many meaningful opportunities is this guy going to get with Rico Dowdle sitting behind him, who we've seen be productive in the past, and drafted in the fourth round out of the University of Georgia, Trevor Etienne, that is the little brother of Travis Etienne. Fourth round isn't start immediately capital, but it is guy you think will have a meaningful role for your team capital. So there is a plan clearly in place to use other running backs other than Chuba Hubbard, and you need to spread the ball around in order to make all of those options pay out. Stu, have I rained on another parade here?
No, not really. I think you actually hit the nail pretty well on the head. We can't just look at his stats and how his season went last year and say, oh, this guy is a cream of the crop running back to target for fantasy drafts in 2025, because we just don't know how much workload he's going to cede to a top 24 back in Rico Dowdle. So it totally remains to be seen. This is a whole new ball game. I'm just going to be reiterating points that you made. I'm happy to get him. You know, I'm a little skeptical at that draft price, but I would be hesitantly fine, not super excited to get him as my running back two target or a flex target or something like that. And he really rounds out anybody on the Panthers that we need to talk about, like tight ends. There's no one that you need to consider in your fantasy drafts. Kickers, Matthew Wright. I mean, if this offense can get on the other side of the field, Matthew Wright might be interesting, but more often than not, they're probably not going to be able to. And then their defense is the pits. So
the literal pits. They're projected to be the worst defense in the NFL this year. I do like how the Panthers just stockpile Notre Dame tight ends. They got Tommy Tremble a few years ago, and then Mitchell Evans was really good for Notre Dame in their CFP run last year, and they got him in the fifth. I thought he was undervalued, but that's because I'm a Notre Dame fan. But anyway, let's go ahead and talk about the Aints. There's a lot of places we could start here and not a lot of players that are super relevant. Stu, how about you pick where we go?
Well, we could just knock out the quarterbacks right away. Of the three teams that have not said their quarterback starter for week one, the Saints are the only ones that have not announced it. It's down between the illustrious Spencer Rattler and then Tyler Shuck. I think it's Shuck instead of Show. We called it Show before, but I've heard it Shuck. Neither option is fantasy relevant. Neither option is projected to be able to support these offensive minds like Kamara, Olave, Shahid in any sort of, you know, robust nature way. It's going to be nasty, but I have nothing to say about the quarterbacks, just that we mentioned that they are there, and one of them is going to be starting in week one. James, do you have anything on those two guys?
Yeah, I think the expectation is that it's going to be Tyler. Is it Shuck?
I'm pretty
Shuck?
Sure.
It's, Show? Shuck?
You talk, I'll look it up.
I always thought it was Tyler Show. I might be wrong, though. I've been wrong before, and we all were wrong when we called Tyrod Taylor, or when we called Tyrod Taylor Tyrod, and when we called Bijan Robinson Bijan. So, you know, Show, Shuck.
It is Shuck.
Whatever. It is Shuck.
It is okay. Shuck.
We will never get that wrong ever again.
Never
again. As long as he gets the starting job. it really is a shame because I want to be high on Chris Olave so bad. Even with the injuries he sustained last year, I love Chris Olave as a prospect. And I really like Rashid Shaheed too. Just the speed and the ability that he shows. But neither of these guys are really going to be able to live up to their expectations or potential because of the quarterback situation here. And we really don't know what Tyler Shuck... See, got it right. What Tyler Shuck is going to be like if and when he starts for the Saints. And really, he probably shouldn't, given the fact that he's a second-round rookie. But Spencer Rattler has shown that he doesn't have an ability to support these guys. And then behind that's Jake Haener. These wide receivers are in for a tough year. Mm-hmm. In for a tough year, in for a tough season. Did you know Brandon Cooks is still around?
Yes, he is. I was actually just looking at him. He might well get 10,000 yards receiving for his career this year if he, you know, doubles his production from last year.
Yeah, good for him. Brandon Cooks down there in New Orleans as well. I think we should go ahead and highlight the wide receivers a little more if there's anything else you want to add. Chris Olave sitting PPR as wide receiver 31, which even with the dismal state of the Saints quarterbacks, I think is a little low. I am seeing him in like the 7th and 8th round. Seeing Chris Olave that low, I understand why he is. It just feels so weird to me.
It feels that way, but I think it is super appropriate because, I mean, we just talked about it. Like, they're going to struggle to get him the ball. And also, we are one bad hit away from perhaps his career being over. I know any player could be like that, but Chris Olave has been banged up across these last couple of years. And just one bad hit, he's gone. Like, I am, even if he feels low and is low, I'm out. Pretty much on Olave. I know you're probably not, James, and I cut you off. I'm sorry.
Nah, that's fine. I don't want to be out, but I think the only thing keeping me in is his body of work and seeing what he's brought in the past and the fact that he's still pretty young, I can't in good conscience take him with by also taking these quarterbacks. I don't think I can do that with especially consider he's going above guys like Emeka Ogbuka, who we're going to talk about in the next episode. Man, we're talking more about the Bucks in this episode than we are about the teams we're actually talking about. But anyway, anything on Rashid Shaheed? Are we good to talk about running backs?
Deep ball specialist. He's shown flashes in the past. I don't expect that to continue. Even last year, he's trending downward. 6 games played last year, kind of a lost season. Not super interested in him, even super late in drafts.
Yep. All right. I think the only person actually interesting for us here on the Saints is Alvin Kamara. How old is he?
He is 30. He's 30 years old.
And we all know what happens to 30-year-old running backs. They magically disappear. That's not true at all. But it is the narrative. Alvin Kamara getting up there. Derrick Henry getting up there. Christian McCaffrey getting up there. All these guys getting up there. But Alvin Kamara has bucked this trend before. He is always, it seems like, at least for the past few years, he has been undervalued and has overproduced. And maybe some of that is big chunky games here and there. But Alvin Kamara, I'm seeing PBR going as the RB13 going in the fourth round. I think if I can get the RB13, and if it is Alvin Kamara going in the fourth round, I'm going to be really happy about that. And again, if you have quarterbacks who probably aren't going to be able to hit their wide receivers with any sort of reliability, a lot of times they are going to try and rely on the checkdown. And Alvin Kamara has made a career on being the checkdown guy. So I really like Kamara. I would have to see who in an individual draft is going around him in order to see if I would actually take the reach on him. But paint me as a little bit more optimistic than I think a lot of other people would be on Kamara. What do you think, Stu?
I'm open to Kamara on 2025 drafts. There's just a couple little warts that you're going to have to take with him. 30 years old is a wart. I mean, it's a wart on anybody, even Derrick Henry. I mean, Derrick Henry's 31. You kind of have to consider it a little bit, even though he's the king. Kamara also has not topped 15 games played in the last seven years. So you can kind of bank on the fact that he's going to miss a couple games, and the fact that he's not really known for rushing as much as he is receiving. A fun fact that I've learned is he's never topped 1,000 yards rushing in his life, which is kind of fun. It's all built on the back of the receiving work, as you said, James. So of course in PPR he's going to be a little bit higher. In standard, what I'm looking at is around running back 15. Now, none of this is to say that you shouldn't be drafting him or you should be off of Alvin. He's been a perennially great fantasy prospect for a very long time, and I don't think that's going to end this year. Honestly, I think he's going to be the most relevant person on the Saints by a long shot, because these quarterbacks are going to be flushed from the pocket. They're going to be looking for short throws, easy completions to try to move the chains as much as they can, and it's going to be AK right there every single time. We also kind of have to talk about the rest of the running backs in there, because there aren't that many to be excited about. There's Kendre Miller, who we've talked about. He can't stay on the field. He was Dennis Allen's, you know, like the devil on Dennis Allen's shoulder. Hated that guy. And then we've also got rookie Devin Neal, who was taken in the sixth round at 184 this last draft. So, I mean, it's AK or bust in this backfield. If he goes down, there's really not a whole lot else that you can really hang your hat on. So he's going to get the bulk of the work. He's going to get a ton of receiving work. He's a great asset in points per reception leagues. And I'd even take him in standards as a running back too, very, very easily. So pretty high on him as well.
As far, you don't think Cam Akers or Clyde Edwards-Helaire could eat into that workload?
No. No, not really. On my depth chart that I'm seeing,
disappointing guys.
I don't even see Clyde Edwards-Helaire on this depth chart. Like, he's that far down.
Yeah, he's there. That's sad. I was surprised when I saw his name. Only interesting guy here. Nothing to talk about at tight end. Juwan Johnson, Taysom Hill, Foster Moreau. Blake Groupe is a kicker.
He sure is.
And the Saints going to be fielding one of the worst defenses in the NFL this year.
Yep. In lieu of talking about them, we could talk about this little couple pieces of news that have been announced even as we've been recording, James. I don't know if you've seen these things.
What do we got? Breaking news. Hit me.
I mean, it's not like crazy. I mean, it's crazy stuff. DeMarcus Robinson, wide receiver for the Rams, got handed his suspension. That is 3 games for DeMarcus Robinson over there in L.A., which means not the Rams. He's a flipping 49er, right? Just kill me.
He's a 49er. 49er.
This isn't my job. I'm a doctor during the day. it's a Ricky Pearsall post. Don't tell your friends because we need to keep his ADP suppressed. The other one that I saw. There was Bajent or Badgent, the Bears quarterback, got a whatever.
Extension?
Yes. It was Denver. Denver traded the wide receiver Vele to the Saints. So just the team we were talking about for a 4th and a 7th round pick. Which is kind of cool. So, a young receiver. He's going to supersede Brandon Cooks. He'll be probably 3rd on that depth chart. Again, not fantasy relevant, but I thought that was kind of fun.
Not fantasy relevant, no. Well, cool. We had actually team relevant news come across.
It was fortuitous. And I made you do some editing because I can't watch my mouth.
Okay.
That's a good one.
I think it's last call.
I think it is. So, I am highlighting once again Deviate Brewing, Deviate from the Norm, and I'm talking about their double IPA, the Juicy Caboosey. And I picked it solely because it has a fun name. So, this is a 10.5% ABV, and fun fact, this is their second attempt at this beer because they lost the recipe to the first one. So, here's to the new Juicy Caboosey version 2.0. Deviate Brewing, close to home. It's actually one of the closest breweries to my apartment. So if you want to find my apartment, you know where to start, I guess. James, what are you drinking tonight? Let's stop them from actually looking this up.
I thought it was appropriate to go with these two teams specifically. Something that is extremely weak. So I know before I had highlighted non-alcoholic beer, and what is weaker than non-alcoholic beer? That would be something that is not beer at all and has no alcohol. That would be hop water. So I am from Revolution Brewing, which is, you know, very respected craft brewer in Chicago. I actually ran into someone who worked at Revolution the other day, and they were telling me about all of the big alcohol brands that have tried to buy Revolution. They said that last year Budweiser made them like a ridiculous offer that they flat out refused. But I am drinking the Super Zero Sparkling Hop Water made with Sabro and Nectarone hops. And I was very skeptical about this whole hop water thing, but Stu, you and I both attempting to diet a little bit, I was like, I need to find something that's got, you know, less carbs, calories, whatever. And Super Zero, and I believe hop water in general, has no calories and no alcohol. So if you're into that sort of thing, it actually does taste very good. It tastes more like a beer than I expected it to. But I can endorse it, and let's go ahead and crack this thing in 3, 2, 1, and there it goes. Stu, final words for the evening.
Hop water, James, my God. I'd rather just drink water. I mean, in my mind, that's competing with just like sparkling water, and what's the worst kind of water that I can imagine? Because I'm not a huge hoppy guy. I'm more of a dark kind of smooth or rich or coffee, chocolatey kind of thing. So probably not my cup of tea, metaphorically speaking. But reach out to us. We always want to hear what you guys have to say. What do you think about the Saints? What do you think about the Panthers? Reach out to us on Instagram and on X. We are at FantasyFootBeer on both of those platforms. We also take beer requests. We want to know what you like to drink, what we should feature on the show, what deserves a shout-out. You can do that at FantasyFootBeer@gmail.com. So always looking forward to that. Looking forward to talking about the rest of the NFC South later on this week. And we get to talk about the team that James is dying to talk about, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So stay tuned for that. And James, why don't you bring us home for this evening?
You got it. Apparently my hop water selection was a bridge too far for probably our listeners as well as due time. But thank you all for tuning in for another episode. We are almost there, people. Football season is so close to being upon us. This weekend we got college football, and I'm already thinking about Stu's college education, which college games I'm going to make Stu watch every week. But for all of us here at Fantasy Foot Beer, for Dr. Michael Stewart, I'm James Kemp. Good night. Good talk.